Likutei Halachos, we're in Yoredeia, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Ribbis, Halacha Hey, paragraph Chof Ches. This halacha, we said, is based on chapter 51 in Likutei Moran, and Rav Nosson Zal has been speaking a lot about the topic of Emes, Emuna, and in the previous year, he went into a discussion about Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, and tied it into what we've been speaking about earlier, and now we're on the topic of Simchas Torah. We dedicate the learning today to Le'ilu Nishmas, Rosa Basi Tamar, and for a complete refuah shalema for all those that need it, the Seich Shach of Israel. Rav Nosson Zal says now, based on what we've been learning until now, we'll understand why V'zeh Shemisayimim HaTorah Le'enei Kol Yisrael U'maschilin Miyad Bereshis Bor Elokim. Based on what we've been learning until now, we'll be able to understand why the Torah finishes. The last words in the Torah are Le'enei Kol Yisrael, and immediately we begin Bereshis Bor Elokim. Ki Rabbeinu Doshu Al Pasuk Zeh Asher Osa Moshe Le'enei Kol Yisrael Sheshiber Es Haluchos. The Gemara tells us, what is that last pasuk in the Torah speaking about? The awesome, wondrous things that Moshe Rabbeinu did before the eyes of the Jewish people. The Gemara says it's referring to the fact that when he came down from heaven and he saw that they were worshipping the golden calf, he broke the luchos. V'zeh b'china hanal. And this ties in beautifully with what we were learning before. Ki Moshe ro'o goydel ha'churban shechotu Yisrael kol kach v'ofru al kol ha'Torah v'ofru avodah zarah. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the incredible disaster that after the Jews received the Torah on Har Sinai and they saw Hashem face to face and they saw all the miracles that took place when they left Egypt, when they crossed the Red Sea, the miracles that they saw at Har Sinai, and then they got involved in worshipping idols, Moshe Rabbeinu saw this was a violation of the entire Torah. V'ovdu avodah zarah. They actually worshipped an idol. Ad shehoyo mishuras hadin ho'emes al pi haTorah laharchik ulahaved es Yisroel chas v'shalom. Which means that they got to a point where based on law and order, based on justice, it would have been the right thing to distance the Jewish people and to destroy them. As Hashem does say to Moshe Rabbeinu right afterwards, Heref nimeni, leave me alone, va'ashmiden, let me destroy them. Al kein hiskil Moshe, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu used his great wisdom, v'hishlich es haluchos la'oretz, and he threw the luchos to the ground. Threw the luchos to the ground. Zeh techinas v'sashlech emes orza. This is exactly the same thing Hashem did when there were angels who said, you don't want to create man, man is going to sin, man is going to lie. Hashem threw emes to the ground. Al shekitreg al briyas adam, over the fact that these angels opposed the creation of man. Kemoikein osa Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu performed a similar act because the Torah is emes. V'dovak bo yizborach. He attached himself deeply to Hashem. And he threw down the luchos shehem bechinas emes, which are also emes, bechinas toiras emes hishlichom laoretz. He threw them to the oretz lahoyros to show she'af al pi shehem toiras emes, even though the luchos are the Torah, which is truth. Af al pi kein, despite that, me'achar she'al yodom oila al daitoy she'ofes tikva. If as a result of looking at the luchos, he's going to come to the conclusion that there's no hope for the Jewish people, v'yefshel espal eloid al Yisrael, and can't daven for them anymore, al kein hishlicha marza. Therefore he rejected them, he threw them to the ground, v'herchika me'alponav, he distanced them from himself, v'chizek esatzmoy, and he encouraged himself, leha'amin, to believe, that it's impossible to really understand Hashem and what Hashem really wants. Ad shehaven, to the point where he understood, sha'af al pikein, that even though Hashem is saying, get out of my way, let me destroy them, Hashem yisborach roitze sheyispalel aleihem. What Hashem really wants is that Moshe Rabbeinu, that tzaddik, should pray for them. Validezeh hirbo lehispalel aleihem. And this is what gave Moshe Rabbeinu the impetus to daven a lot for the Jewish people at the time, and she'po'al b'tfilosoi she'nisratza she'nisborach u'mochalehem. And he succeeded with his tefillah in that Hashem allowed himself to be appeased, and Hashem forgave the Jews. V'tzivoloi lifsoi luchoi shniyos. And Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to prepare a new set of luchos. V'zehu b'yatzmoi b'china hanal. And this is exactly what we explained earlier, b'chinas v'sashleich emes orzo, that pasuk which speaks about the fact that at the time of creation, Hashem threw the emes down. V'yideizeh b'yatzmoi, and as a result of that rejection of that kind of an emes that's negative, an emes that's against the Jewish people, as a result of that, emes me'eretz titzmoch. The emes will rise forth from the Eretz, from the ground. That's what Hashem did. K'moikein osa Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu did the exact same thing. K'im loy hoyo mashlich haluchos. Because had Moshe Rabbeinu not thrown down the luchos, v'hoyo hakitrug godol chas v'shom, and the prosecution case against the Jewish people at that point was so strong, at shehoy Yisrael nevodin chas v'shom, to the point where the Jewish people would have been lost, would have been destroyed. Va'oz hoyo ha'emes misalein legamrei. And if the Jewish people are destroyed, then the emes would be totally hidden. Ki ein mi sheyegale ha'emes ba'olam ki im Yisrael. Because there is no other nation and nothing else in creation that can reveal the emes of Hashem like the Jewish people. We know the Zohar Kodesh says that famous quote, Kuchibrichu, the Israel, the Oiraiso Chatu. Hashem, the Jewish people, and the Torah are one. So there's no such thing as a Torah without the Jewish people. Al kein hishlich haluchos. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu threw down the luchos. Shehim b'chinas emes, the book of emes. B'chinas v'sashlech emes arzo, v'hischazek b'tfila. And he strengthens himself, he encouraged himself to really give it everything he could in tefillah, ki hemen, because he believed, she'i'efsher lahasid amitas daitoi, that it's impossible to understand the real truth of what Hashem really wants. Even though Hashem said clearly, step aside, get out of my way, I'm going to destroy them, ki ma'oid omku machshavosa, because Hashem's thoughts are so deep. And this is where he succeeded. And Hashem allowed himself to be appeased by Moshe Rabbeinu. And Hashem declared his forgiveness for Klal Yisrael as a result of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. And Hashem commanded him to prepare a second set of luchos. Shezel b'chinas tale emes min ha'aretz. That parallels, that corresponds beautifully with what Hashem said afterwards to the Malachim, lift up the emes from the ground. Hashem didn't reject the emes completely. B'chinas emes me'aretz titzmach. This is an incredible example where Rav Nosson Zal is showing, the Gemara says, tzadikim emulate Hashem. Rav Nosson Zal is showing a parallel between what took place at the time of creation with Hashem and the angel of emes, and how Moshe Rabbeinu understood how to respond to that worst threat against Bnei Yisrael. V'alkein le'enei kol Yisrael, and therefore he did this before the eyes of the entire Jewish people. And as soon as we read that, right afterwards, maschila miyad, we begin immediately from the beginning of the Torah. Bereshis bara lekin shehu soifei tevois emes kemuva. The Baal HaTum tells us that the last letters of Bereshis Bara Elokim spell the word emes, lohoros, to show, shezeh ikar ho emes, that this is the real truth. You want to know what the real truth is? Kishe yoidin she'ein yoidin klal. When we realize that we don't know anything, we don't really understand anything, ve'ein misrachkin b'shum oifin, and we do not distance ourselves from Hashem no matter what. Even if Hashem says, leave. The Gemara says that kol ma she'emelcha b'labayis aseh chutz mitzeh, that when you're in somebody else's house, he invited you, then anything he tells you to do, you have to do. He says, sit down, eat, eat. But if he says, get out, you don't have to listen to him. Hashem is the balabais to the world. Any instructions Hashem gives us, a person is required to listen. But if a person ever thinks they're hearing a message from Hashem, of Hashem saying, get away, rejection, Hashem is rejecting the person and telling the person, get out, there you're not supposed to listen. But rather, maschilin b'chol pam, we make a new beginning every time. Shezeo b'chinas le'enei kol Yisrael, bereshis boro likim. This is the message in this connection between the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah. Shemoshe b'oitzem koichoi himshich derech zeh alidei shviras luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu, with his incredible power, introduced this path into the world by breaking the luchos. Shehoide lo yashem isparach. And we find Hashem affirmed, Hashem said to him, you did well. V'omaloi gisha koichecho sheshavarta. Yashakayach, for breaking the luchos. Shalidei zeh yuchal kolechot miYisrael lehischazek es atzmoi lehaschel b'chol pam. This gives every one of us the ability, when we see that we've done something very wrong, we're worshipping idols, we've done terrible things, and we've angered Hashem, to know that we have the ability to make a fresh new start. Shezeh b'chinas hascholas haTorah. That's the concept of starting the Torah over from the beginning. Bereshis bara lekim, soifei tevos semes. And that the last letters of the first three words in the Torah make up the word emes. Ki rak zehu ikar amitas ho emes. Because it's only this that's the real truth. Shelo yisrachek al yideu ha emes. That a Jew should never allow himself to become distant from Hashem because of the truth. It's true I committed sins, it's true I didn't get up on time today, it's true I didn't this, it's true, and therefore I'm out. No, I'm not out. Nothing is going to get me out. Rak yovin v'yeda, but rather for the person to understand and realize, she'ein yoidin klal, that we don't know anything. U'tzrichin lahaskel b'chol pam echodosh, and a Jew has to make a fresh new start all the time. Ki amitas rachamov sogbu moi, because the truth regarding Hashem's kindness is way, way above our comprehension and above our imagination. The kol yemei chaye hodom yuchal lahaschil eskarav lashem isborach. And throughout the entire life of a person, the person always has the ability to make a new beginning. Kama shekosov, as the pasuk says, Toshe venoish ad dako. A person should do tshuva ad dako, and the Gemara says ad dichducho shel nefesh. Even when the person's soul has hit rock bottom, person's in a very low place, super distant from Hashem. Ki chazdei Hashem lo yisamnu v'lo yicholu rachamo. Because Hashem's kindness is infinite. There's no end to it. Question: the Medrash and the Gemara tell us that when Hashem was first going to create the world, his original intention was to create the world based on Midas Hadin. That's why the Torah begins with the words, Bereshis Bara Elokim is Hashemayim Yisrael. Elokim is Hashem's name of judgment, justice, din. And it says, but Hashem saw that if he does that, the world is going to come to an end pretty quickly, because Adam and Chava are going to make a mistake, eat from Eitz HaDaas. So we'll have to shut down the whole world. Because again, al pi din ish b'cheto yumas. Person has to die for a sin. So it says Hashem changed the plan, as the pasuk says later on in Parshas Bereishis, b'yoyim asois Hashem Elokim eretz v'shamayim. On the day when yud ke vav ke Elokim created heaven and earth, and it says Hashem attached yud ke vav ke to Elokim to dim the fire, to lower the heat. Hashem combined midas harachmim with midas hadin. And therefore, he was Meshate for Midas Harachim. Question regarding the quotation that we said, Kol ma she'emelcha balabayis asei chutz mitzei, obviously, there are different circumstances, different times when it applies and when it doesn't apply. A person has to learn much, much more to know exactly how to apply it. But it's a famous quote, and one of the rabbis said, the best place to apply that to is the balabayis of the world, the master of the world. Paragraph Chavtes, Vezehu, and this is why the Gemara says, Kol hadon din emes la'amitoi ki'ilu nase shutef la'kodesh baruch hu b'maisa bereshis. Any judge who makes a judgment with emes la'amitoi, the real truth, it's as if he's partnering with Hashem in creation. V'diktuku ha'poiskim, and the poiskim that analyze this Gemara are very precise in saying, la'amitoi, kimuva be'beis Yosef, ba'atcholas tur chosh mishpat, as the Beis Yosef expounds on this in the beginning of the section of Shulchan Aruch that deals with justice, chosh mishpat, kimuva, Hainu Kanal. This fits beautifully with what we learned before. Sheho Iker Hu Lodun Emes La'amitoi Daika. The most important thing is not just to judge with Emes, but to go for the Emes La'amitoi, which means Livli Litoi Sesatsmoi Alidei Ho Emes Lahatoi Sadin Chas V'Shalom. Not to Chas V'Shalom pervert the justice, to cause injustice based on truth, rakia emes boror vizach, but rather the emes has to be really, really pure and clean and refined. Bechinas emes la'amitoi, v'hu ke'en shepirshu mefarshim shom, and this is similar to what the commentaries say over there in Shulchan Aruch, la'apuke din meruma. This comes to exclude a false type of judgment. Ayin Shom, take a look over there in the Mefarshim. Hainu Kanal. This fits beautifully with what we said. That there's an expression, don't be dead right. Person sees, I have a green light. It's my right to cross. And he hears a car speeding towards him over there. He has to stop because I have the green light, no question. And they'll put that on the person's stone in the cemetery. Was right. Died it with emes. See, here again, if there's an emes that's going to lead to killing a person, then in certain instances, there are cases where the law is to put a person to death. But we see in the Gemara how far we go when it's possible to avoid that. For oz nase shutef l'akadosh baruch hu b'maisa bereishis. Din emes la'amitoi, then he becomes like a partner to Hashem in creation. Why? Ki ikar maisa bereishis. Hoya alidei ho emes la'amitoi daika. Because as we saw in the previous shiurim, the whole creation, the fact that Hashem went ahead with the creation of man was not based on emes. Because the angel of emes said, don't do this, Hashem, you're going to be sorry, man is going to lie, man is going to sin. And Hashem pushed aside emes, and he went for emes la'amitoi. Ki ho emes ha'poshut kitrei al b'riyas sodom. Because the standard emes oppose the creation of man. Shehu ikar kol maisa bereishis. And man is the most important and the ultimate purpose of the whole creation. V'al kein, ikar maisa bereishis shehu b'riyas ha'odom ho'yorak alidei ho'emes la'amitoi daikam. And therefore, the most important aspect of creation, which was the creation of man, only happened as a result of Hashem going for the emes la'amitoi. Shehu amitosoi bi'atzma yisborach. That's not the emes of the angels. That's Hashem's own emes. She'i'ef she'lahasig, which we cannot possibly fathom. She'yoda, whereby Hashem knew, she'afal pikein tzrichen livroi esodon. Even based on the argument of the angel of emes to oppose the creation of man, we still have to go ahead with the creation of man. Why? Ki yud sadikim gedoilim koelu sheyevareru ho emes la'amitoi. Because there will be great, great sadikim who will refine the emes and get to this emes la'amitoi. V'al kein, and that's why the Gemara says, ze hadon din emes la'amitoi. When is a person a partner in creation? Not when he's don din emes, when he's zochet to don din emes la'amitoi. Then hu bebechina zois. Then he's like Hashem in this sense. V'al kein hu nasa shutev l'Kadosh Baruch Hu b'maisa bereishis. And that's why the wording in the Gemara is he becomes a partner to Hashem in the act of creation. Shenemar bohem. And what does the Torah say by creation? Vayere vayvoiker yoim echad. There was night. There was day. There was evening. There was morning. One day. Shemishom lomdu rabbeinu zechron avrocha. Shom Medrash Zeh Shenaseh Shutev. And it's from this pasuk that appears in during the time of creation that the rabbis learned out that limud about a judge who judges din emes lamitoi. Ki ho emes, ki kulay echad, kulay toiv. Because the real emes is one. It's all good. There's no good and bad in the highest level of emes, by the essence of Hashem. Ach ikr hu ho emes lamitoi. And the most important thing is that highest truth. Any questions?
Morning, Rabbi Nelson.
Yes.
This highest truth we keep saying is a very difficult thing to establish, but yet we are obligated to do what we can, I guess, and knowing that whatever truth we come at, it's very far from the true truth. So these judges have an obligation to judge the true truth, but they may not get there.
Correct. But that's their goal. That's what they're supposed to strive for. That's what this book, that's why the Gemara says that a court, when it speaks about putting criminals to death, the Gemara discusses, the Gemara says, for example, the Gemara says that if you have a court judging a person on a death penalty, if all of the judges unanimously agree that the person needs to be put to death, we don't kill him. Because the fact that none of these judges was able to come up with some kind of a defense, some kind, implies that their judgment is, there's something wrong with their judgment. So again, when you learn the Gemara Sanhedrin and the other places where this is discussed, and when you learn Chosh Mishpat, you see that what the world calls justice, what the world calls truth, look where the world is today. That'll give you a pretty good idea of how their interpretation of justice, you know, how much it has failed and continues to fail and get worse and worse. The only one qualified to define what true justice is Hashem and the greatest of the tzaddikim. If you recall, we mentioned a while ago a case of Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik, that when Yosef HaTzadik saw that his father was about to pass away, he brought his sons Menashe and Ephraim to Yaakov Avinu to get a bracha. They come into the room, Yaakov Avinu sees Menashe and Ephraim, and he sees darkness. He sees that from each one is going to come forth certain rishoyim. And Yaakov Avinu's first response is, no thanks. I don't want to put a bracha on this. And Yosef HaTzadik comes back and says to him, I see what you see also. But I see that there will be great people, there will be great tzaddikim that are going to come from them also. And then Yaakov Avinu gives in, and Yaakov Avinu gives them a bracha. And Rav Nosson Zal, in a different place in the Likutei Halacha, speaks about this and says that regarding this type of thing, even among the greatest of the greatest tzaddikim, we're talking here about the seven shepherds, we're talking about Yaakov Avinu, who is called Emes. Even there was a controversy. It was difficult to figure out, can they get a bracha? Should they get a bracha or should they not get a bracha? Should we break the luchos or not? These are the decisions that the greatest of tzaddikim have to make, and we are so far from that, and therefore our only recourse is to try to search for these greatest tzaddikim and to try to come close to them and to seek their guidance. This past Shabbos, I spoke in a shul, and I spoke about the story of the Baal Tefillah. And just to give the most basic elements of that story, there are all kinds of countries that get messed up, and each one of them is involved in a different mistake. Each one of them has a mistaken ideal of what they think life is really all about. And it says there the worst country is the country that has come to the conclusion to worship money. That money is everything. Money is G-O-D. That's G-O-D. Like it says on the American coins, in God we trust. Which God? The dollar. The money. And it's a very long, involved story. And at one point in the story, we see that there's a tzaddik, a super tzaddik, called a Baal Tefillah, a master of prayer. And he meets up with a group of people, and he has students that he's makari, that he brings close. He takes people out of the world, out of society, and they become part of his chavura, part of his chevra, and they become members of the Baal Tefillah organization. And it says there in the story at one point that some of the students heard about this country, how messed up they were, these people that worship money, and they decided to go there to try to help them. Because again, they are students of the Baal Tefillah. And the Baal Tefillah taught them what life is really all about, that the most important goal and ideal in life is to serve Hashem, to pray and to learn Torah. That's it. They go there, they make several attempts. And Rabbeinu Zal writes in the story, they did not ask the Baal Tefillah. They did not consult with the Baal Tefillah at all whatsoever. They go on the mission and they fail completely. They fail, they're not successful at all, and they come back and they tell the Baal Tefillah what they saw, what state the people are in there, that they've actually, they started off that if you have more money, you're like a star. Then they got to a level where if you have more money, you're an angel. And then it got to a level where if you have much more money, then you are an actual God. We worship you, we offer human sacrifices to you, etc., etc. And the Baal Tefillah says to them, that's what I was afraid of. That's what I was worried about. I knew that it's going to evolve to that level. And then it says the Baal Tefillah was Meyashev himself. He thought it over very carefully, and he decided he's going to go and attempt to repair them. And he goes, and Rabbeinu Zal shows it wasn't easy at all. He spoke to people. At first, they didn't listen to him at all. And then he continued trying, and finally it looked like he made a tiny inroad. And eventually he succeeds in repairing them completely. And I pointed out this incredible, important point, that we know the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos there are 48 ways that a person acquires Torah, that a person acquires Emes. One of the most important ones is Shimush Chachamim, serving Tzadikim, being close to Tzadikim, watching everything they do carefully, because the book alone isn't enough. Reading the book, learning Torah, a person learned Torah day and night, and they could come up with the wrong conclusions if they leave out this important critical element. We know it says by Yehoshua, the student of Moshe Rabbeinu, that was the one to take over after Moshe Rabbeinu, what qualification did he have? It doesn't say he was burning those books, he was reading the books, making a siyum every day. It doesn't say that. It says V'yoshua ben Nun nar lo yomish mitoich ha'oyel. He didn't leave the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rav Nosson Zal points out, what do you mean? He didn't go home? He had a wife. Rav Nosson Zal says, no. He did go home. Doesn't mean he camped out full time, but it means that even when he was at home, wherever he was connected. He was always, always connected to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Hashem, in that manner. Connecting through the Tzadik to Hashem. Zeh Hashar Hashem, this is the entranceway. This is the gateway to Hashem, Tzadikim. And as a result of that, he was not involved. He was not included in the Egel HaZohav. As a result of that, he was to complete his Rebbe's mission. The mission that Moshe Rabbeinu had to take the Jews out of Egypt and bring them into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu was not zeichet to complete it in physical form, but through his student Moshe Rabbeinu, Yahshua, he was able to complete it. And I was saying this is a very important element that many people don't realize. They don't realize how critical, again, there are many, especially today, that there are new sforim being published every day. And again, today we have technology. Today, I don't have to go see the rabbi. I can see him on my screen. I can see him, I can hear him, everything. So it's good enough. It's great. It's, you know. And the Torah tells us that on Yom Tov, Chayev Odom Lehakbil Pnei Rabbi Boredo, there's a chiyuv, an obligation, to go receive the face of your Rebbe on Yom Tov. And Shabbos and other important times, Rabbeinu Zal said, come to me for Rosh Hashanah. And all the times when in chapter 4 in Yikudimran, where it speaks about coming close to the Tzaddik, and Rav Nachman Shirin there explains that how do we do that today if our Rebbe isn't physically living? And he points out that Rabbeinu Zal says in that chapter on Yikudimran that each time the person comes to the Tzaddik, that things get better and better and better. And Rav Nachman Shirin says, you see here that it's not a one-time fix. It doesn't work that way. Person has to want to come to the Tzaddik again and again, and to speak to the and to watch the Tzaddik, to see how he behaves, in order to know how we should conduct ourselves. What's an etzah for a non-married woman regarding a substitute for shimush talmidei chachamim? What do we have beyond the svarim of the tzaddikim? The answer is, there are women that go to shul when they can to be able to see, again, to be able to see the Sefer Torah, to be able to see the rabbis, to see today with the technology, you're able to see and to be in touch, to speak, to communicate, to ask questions, to seek advice and guidance when it's warranted, when it's justified. And Rav Nosson Zal stressed before, the tzaddikim, the hanilvim aleihem, not just tzaddikim gedolim, the greatest of tzaddikim, and those who are attached to them. And a person, again, has to look very carefully to see who's attached and who's less attached and who's not attached. One of the reasons why Rav Nosson Zal did not accept the title Rebbe, he didn't accept the mantle of authority and leadership as in other Hasidios, is because he wanted to make it clear that Rabbeinu Zal is the Rebbe. I am a student and I'll always remain a student. One student is closer, one student is further. One student has a more accurate understanding of what the Rebbe wants and another student doesn't. Yehoshua led the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael. The Arizal told all of his students, none of you have permission to teach, to pass on what I taught you, other than Reb Chaim Vital. He is the only one who received it properly and is qualified to be able to pass it on to others. We see examples like this. Question the pasuk that we quoted all the way at the end, the last words we quoted just about in the paragraph, Reb Nosson Zal said, he showed the connection between a judge who's judging din emes la'amitoi and the beginning of creation. The pasuk that the Gemara uses for that is vayere vayvoyker yoim echad. The focus is on that word yoim echad. One. There was morning and evening, which seemed like two different things. Yoim echad. It's one. It's all about oneness. Remember chapter 51 of Likudimran that this halacha is all about? Is all about echad. One. And this whole halacha is about emes, which is one. One. But again, the echad is begimatria ahava. Rav Enzal brings this from Likud Imran, chapter 4. That a type of emes that expresses Hashem's love for us. Not an emes that causes a person to believe that they're being rejected by Hashem. There's a story with one of Rav Enzal's close students, Reb Yudel. A whole story about when he first came to Rav Enzal, and he came as a Rebbe. Reb Yudel had students, and he was a Mekubal, and he came and he said to Rav Enzal, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu Derech Bavoides Hashem. Let our rabbi teach us a path in serving Hashem. Rav Enzal looked at him and saw that he didn't realize how to be a student. He had forgotten how to be a student because he himself. So Rav Enzal's response was, Lodas ba'oretz darkecha? Are we supposed to teach the ground? And Rav Yudelzal was terrified. It says he jumped back. Rav Enzal instilled a year on him that he jumped back like from fire. And this happened several times. So now, at one point, there were people that told Rav Yudelzal that the Rebbe is very angry at you and you know, terrible, terrible. And because of that, he didn't go into Rav Enzal for several days, a few days that he was there, and he didn't go in to see him. And then at one point, he decided, forget it, this is not the solution. And he went into Rav Enzal, and I don't know if he even told Rav Enzal what happened, but Rav Enzal said to him, listen very carefully, that there are all kinds of obstacles, etc., and they that block a person from coming close to the tzaddik, and those obstacles are in the category of sheker. And when a person overcomes those obstacles, they make from sheker kesher, a strong bond. And there'll be a strong bond between us, Rav Enzal said. This was Rav Yudel, one of the closest students of Rav Enzal. Before Rav Enzal passed away, Rav Enzal gave him the union of Pidyonis. He was very knowledgeable in Kabbalah, and he was an Oved Hashem, a real Oved Hashem. Rav Enzal said he's the one who, if a person needs to give a Pidyon, they should give it to him. Anyone else? A question, should a married woman search for shimush of a rabbi, or is the intention that her shimush is of her husband? The answer is, if her husband is tzaddik gadol ma'oid, then she's satisfying the shimush there. If not, if he's more learned than her, then it's an aspect of Shimush Chachamim. It's an aspect of it. But both she and her husband have to seek Tzadik Godol Mo'i V'Hanil V'Melov. That's what Rav Nosson Zal is speaking about over here. Now Rav Nosson Zal goes into the beginning of Parshas Vo'era and showing us how the interaction between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu there relates to what we've been learning here. Paragraph Lamed, V'zehu V'yedaber Elokim al Moshe, V'yomer Elov Ani Hashem. Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, I am Hashem. Vo'era el Avraham vel Yitzchok vel Yaakov. I revealed myself to Avraham Yitzchok Yaakov. Bekel Shakai, with my name Kel Shakai, Ushmi Hashem loy noidati lehem. But my name Yud Kei Vav Kei, I didn't really reveal to them. Ki kol havikuchim bein Hashem Yisborach ubein Moshe Rabbeinu beinyan shlichusoi ligol es Yisrael. Because if you look back at the previous parsha, Parsha Shmois, when Hashem first approaches Moshe Rabbeinu and tells him, I want to send you on a mission to take the Jews out of Egypt. And we see there that Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to do whatever he can to get out of that mission. He's telling, I'm not the right person for the job, I can't speak, I can't this, I can't that. This went on for 7 days. Moshe Rabbeinu was refusing a lot, several times. And we see at one point it says, Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe, that Hashem got angry at Moshe Rabbeinu. V'hichrichoi leile b'shlichusoi legaala. And Hashem forced Moshe Rabbeinu to take on this mission to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Kimavur b'parshiyos hakoidmen, as is expressed in Parsha Shema, the previous Parsha. Hakoil choya b'inyan ho'emes. What was this whole argument about between Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem? It was all regarding this issue of truth. Shafilu gedoilei hatzadikim koshelohem bitchila lamoid al etzem nekuda soemes lamitoi. Even the greatest tzadikim, it's very difficult for them at first to be able to realize and understand the purest, highest emes of Hashem. Rakol tzadik v'tzadik mevarer ho'emes kifi yigiyosoi v'torchoi bavoidosoi, but rather, it's a process. Even by the greatest of tzadikim, it's a process every single day to work on this, to work and struggle in avodas Hashem, learning and praying and fasting and giving tzedakah and mitzvahs. V'kol yemei chayov yesh loy b'chol pam nisyonos. And throughout his entire life, he has tests and challenges. Because even the greatest tzaddikim must have free choice throughout their entire life. And what's really behind the essence of this bechira is in trying to refine the emes and get to the emes lamitoi, get to the highest level of emes. We know Rabbeinu Zal has a chapter in the Likutei Moran where he explains their bechira is not our bechira. Their bechira is not whether to do a mitzvah or to do an avera, chas v'shom. Their bechira is on a completely different level, but it's still bechira. There still is an element of indecision and having to figure out what the right choice is. V'alkein, and therefore, afilu Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the greatest tzaddik, at first was refusing to go on this mission. He was trying to do whatever he could to get out of it. And all of his refusals were based on how incredibly honest Moshe Rabbeinu was. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was so holy and was so knowledgeable, he knew the truth. That it's extremely difficult to help the Jewish people, to help them in a way where it'll be a complete help, to finish the job. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see in the future that the Jews are going to sin. Even if that, even with all the miracles and everything, they're going to sin. Ulahamrois kenegdoi. They're going to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu, who keneged Hashem Yisborach, and against Hashem, come upon him many times. Betchila, in during the beginning of the relationship, ubasayif, and at the end, ukamashohoya b'emes came. And is exactly what actually happened. We see that he saw right. It was true. Hashem complains to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, what are they doing to that? They've tested me in the desert 10 times. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to remove himself from this mission. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's conclusion was, I'm not the right guy for the job. His conclusion wasn't there a bunch of lousy people. His conclusion was, if the mission is not going to succeed, it's only because maybe I'm not the right person for the job. Ki hayo katan beino, because Moshe Rabbeinu considered himself very small. The Omar, he said to Hashem, mi anoichi, who am I? Who am I to undertake that I should go to Paro? V'chol ze b'chinas emes. All of this was true. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu bevadai diber kol dvorav be'emes ubanov amitis. Because Moshe Rabbeinu definitely, every word he said was true and with true humility, no false humility. We know there's anova psula. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have any anova psula. His humility was real. Aval af al pi kein, hikbid Hashem yisborach alav. However, despite this, Hashem got upset at Moshe Rabbeinu. Kemoshe kosuv, as the pasuk says, vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. Hashem got angry at Moshe Rabbeinu. Vehichrichoi leilech. And he forced him to go. Ki kol elu hadeos v'hasvoris shel Moshe. Because all of these ideas and opinions of Moshe Rabbeinu, shehoyo lamayim b'shlichusay, which were about Moshe Rabbeinu refusing this mission, hakol nimshach v'nishtalshel mehoemes shel hamalochim. All of this originated from and extended down from that truth of the angels, shekitrigu, who opposed, who prosecuted, v'amru and etzet Hashem shelo yibore odom, that he should not create man at all. Ki mo enoish ki siskarenu. What is man that you should think about him? You don't want to get involved with human beings, Hashem. Ki osid lemechto kamoch ulargozo kamoch. Man is going to sin against you, and man is going to anger you. Kimavur leil, as we mentioned previously. It's interesting. I believe it's in chapter 69 or chapter 70 of the Tikkuni Zohar. There's a major, major, major discussion on this whole piece. About the angels complaining that when Hashem said Nase Odom, Hashem got the angels and said Nase Odom, the Zohar Kodesh repeats what the Gemara says, that there were angels who were pro and there were angels who were against. And the Zohar Kodesh elaborates a little on what their arguments were. Shemize hakitrug kol koyach hayetzohora. And as we learned earlier, that original opposition of these malachim, that's where the Yetzer Hara, the whole evil inclination, draws its power from. Vafilu tzadikim gedoilim gemurim tzrichim yegio rabo levaira daitom misvorois hanimshochem yizeh kitrug. And even the greatest, most complete tzadikim require major, major effort to purify their own thinking, to eliminate those thoughts that are coming from those, from that emes, of those angels who oppose the creation of man. And this was also the cause of what Moshe Rabbeinu said at the end of Parsha Shmois. When he comes to Paroi, and he says to Paroi, he shows him his business card, I am representing the creator of the world, and I'm here to tell you that he made a decision, he wants his people out. Paroi googles Hashem, and he sees, nope, not in my Google. He's not there. No such thing. Not in my yellow pages. Not interested. And you know what? Guess what? Just because you came to ask for this, now we're going to intensify the suffering and the pain of the Jewish people. Till now, they had a quota. They had to build a certain amount of construction every day, but I gave them the building materials. Now we're going to triple it. No building materials. You got to create the, you got to make the building materials, and you got to do the construction and fulfill the same quota every day. And whatever you don't fill, we're going to put Jewish babies in the wall. Rahmanu Litzlan. And Moshe Rabbeinu sees all of this, leaves Paroi, and he turns to Hashem and he says, Loma harayoysa loma zeh. Hashem, why did you make things worse for these people? Loma zeh shalachtani, why did you send me? I told you I didn't want to go. Moshe Rabbeinu says this to Hashem. Shezeh nimshach al yidei oitzem hamachloikes shel hacholkim. What drove Moshe Rabbeinu to such a point to turn out and pull the trigger on Hashem, kavyoch, to complain to Hashem, Hashem, what are you doing? What did you send me for? You made things worse. Who were these people? Shem Dosan Vaviram. These were those super Rishoyim Dosan Vaviram. Sheyotsu Nitzavim Likrosam. Where the Torah tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron Kohen left the presence of Paroi, and they told the people what happened, Dosan Vaviram stood up, Va'amru Yera Hashem Aleichem V'yishboit. Hashem should see what you just did, and Hashem should judge you. And Moshe Rabbeinu getting this punch in the face. This caused Moshe Rabbeinu, in a sense, to have a slight confusion. V'gam lefi daiton dibru be'emes ke'ilu he mekanem al tzoras Yisrael. And in addition, according to their minds, according to their thoughts, Dasan Vaviram, they thought that they're being honest, that they're telling the truth. But look what you did. Look what you did. You made things worse. And they're taking up they're the ones who care about the Jewish people. They're the defending the Jewish people. And they're the ones who are troubled about Jewish pain. Ki kol ha-pegamim sheba'olam. Because all of the sins in the world, bifrat kol minei machloikis, especially when it involves machloikis among Jews, nimshach rak mi-pegam ho-emes hana. Usually it's only coming from this place, from this defective emes. Shemisham kol abchira. That's where the whole bechira evolves from, as we learned before. V'alkein afilu harishoyim hagmurim malbishim divreim haroim be'eze emes. And therefore, even the worst rishoyim, when they want to express themselves and they're spouting evil, they have to cloak the evil in some kind of a truth. Ke'ilu kavanosam al emes. As if they want what's right. They want what's true. Hitler, yamach shemoy, wrote books expressing his ideology to convince people that he knows what's really best for the world, what's really right for the world. As we see also in the case of Paroi, she'omar lehem, who said to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron Kohen, Lomo Moshe v'Aaron tafriu esam. Why are you bothering the people? As if Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron Kohen are the ones who are coming to bother the people. They have a good life here. Why are you messing things up? Tichbad ho'avoyd ol anoshim. Now we're going to intensify the work requirements. V'yasuba. And they're going to do it. V'al yishu b'difrei shoker. And let them not have any hope for these false, this sheker that you, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron Kohen, are spouting. You hear this? Paroi is the angel of Emes. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron Kohen are sheker, and he's standing up for the truth, just like Khrushchev, who got up in the United Nations, and he takes his shoe off. He thinks he's in Russia, Mother Russia, and he says, we stand for truth, we stand for peace, and if we have to destroy the whole world, there'll be peace here. Habet ure'ei v'chovein ata hama'ayin. Rav Nosson Zal says, look carefully and understand, you who are analyzing this, Ad heichon hasheker mispashet lahachlefo emes. How far the sheker goes to try to replace the truth. Ad shebetoikef shkorot, to the point where this paroi, this evil, wicked, horrific Russia, has the chutzpah, mei ispon of kolkach loymar sheetzloi ho emes. He's saying he's the emes. Ad sheparoi horosho sheines Yisroel besheker ubechinam. To the point where this evil paroi, he enslaved the Jews. He caused them so much suffering for no legitimate reason. Sheker, there was no total injustice for no reason at all. Bavoy de kosher kolkach, such severe hard labor. And Omar, this paroi says, Tichpa davoyda. Now we're going to make the work much more difficult. Val yishu bedivrei sheker. And let them not believe him, let them not hope for these false words that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying they're going to be leaving here. They ain't leaving nowhere. Ki'ilu divrei Moshe v'Aaron, she'roitzim she'Yisrael yavdu es Hashem, heim chas v'shom divrei sheker. As if the words of Moshe Rabbeinu said, then these guys aren't your servants, they're Hashem's servants. They don't belong here serving you. They have to get out of here and serve Hashem. So Paro is saying, no. What they're saying is sheker. V'hu chofetz rav koemes. Paro wants the truth. That what's really right, sheyavdu oisa Yisrael, that Jews should work for him, bechinam, and for free. V'chein hu b'chol dor v'dor. And this is actually the case throughout all generations in the battle between sheker and emes. There are parents who tell their kids, we want you to go to university and we want you to do that because we care about, because we love you, because that's the right thing to do. You have these crazy, idiotic people who don't go to university and they have no life. They don't become professionals. A person can't possibly succeed without a university degree. But today we know that a person can go into university as a man and come out as a woman. Or a woman and come out as a man, or come out as a monkey, be convinced that he's a monkey, all kinds of things at these high-level achieving universities. The Ivy League ones, poison ivy. The Ivy League universities, this is what they're teaching. This is the justice they're promoting. Any questions? So a person cannot be just a student of Rabbeinu Zal and Rav Nosson Zal. Are they obligated to seek out their living Talmidim to be a real Breslover? The answer is there are different opinions within the Breslov community regarding this. There are some that take a position, not even Rabbeinu Zal, Rav Nosson Zal, that Rabbeinu Zal is the Rebbe, period. No one else, including Rav Nosson Zal, comes anywhere close to the title of Rebbe, period. Rabbeinu Zal is the Rebbe, everyone else is students, and in that capacity, it's only the words of Rabbeinu Zal that we take as the ultimate truth. Everything else is negotiable, in a sense. There are some that say, at least Rabbeinu Zal, Rav Nosson Zal. But after Rav Nosson Zal's time, there's no one who's really qualified to be a leader. And therefore, in terms of leadership, we're not looking for any leadership at all. Students. Everyone is students. There are some that say that even among the students, they're obviously not all equal. And among the students, a person needs to seek out a friend, a mashpia, someone that they can seek advice from, etc., but not with the same attitude as if they were receiving this advice from Rabbeinu Zal, from the Vit Tzadik HaDor, that kind of thing. And there are some that say that in addition to Rabbeinu Zal, Rav Nosson Zal, in addition to the Sforim, in every single generation, there is a physically living Tzadik HaDor, Tzadik who is the leading Tzadik alive, who also there's an important mission of coming close to that Tzadik in all the different ways we can. And among my rabbis, I saw there were different opinions regarding this. But it would seem everybody agrees that a person certainly can benefit from finding people who are more knowledgeable and are attached to Rabbeinu Zal properly, and be able to have a close relationship with them and be able to draw the benefits. Wishing everybody a wonderful day. Tomorrow's Erev Shabbos Kodesh. I'm sure we'll have some special things coming up. Shabbos Zeicher to the Geula Shleima.